LSU football on the flagship home of the Tigers. Call 225-499-9898. It's Eagle 98.1 game day. Now, here's Charles Hanegrip and Richard Dixon.
The drought is over as LSU puts 8 years of frustration on the cooler tonight with a 46-41 win against Alabama in one of the best football games that I've ever seen, a 1-2 that lived up to all of the hype, all of the drama, and included some of the most legendary performances in LSU history, and I don't make that statement lightly. It feels very, very good for so many LSU people tonight, so many fans that have waited, have been disappointed, have been frustrated to put this team out there and to go and do what they did today is something that we'll talk about for a very, very long time. The significance is very, very easy to see. LSU puts themselves in position to win the SEC West and play for the Southeastern Conference Championship with wins in the last 3 weeks. It puts them clearly as the number one team in college football in any poll that you want to have. It puts Joe Burrow at the, well, at the podium to accept the Heisman. Yeah. I think that race came to an end this afternoon in Alabama with a 393-yard, three-touchdown performance, not to mention another 60-plus yards on the ground for Burrow this afternoon in one of those unbelievable performances. And for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as we were talking about on the scoreboard show, a legendary performance that we'll be talking about for a long, long time. Some of the biggest runs, some of the biggest catches, some of the biggest chain movers, and some of the biggest scores. Four touchdowns on the night for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, three on the ground and one through the air. And the run that put this thing to bed and finally put the team that wouldn't go away, wouldn't stop. You knew Alabama was never going to stop coming. And like the killer in a bad horror movie, you just were waiting for one more time for him to come out of the lake or come out of the floorboard and grab you again. And Edwards-Helaire took it right up the middle against probably somewhere in the area of 1,200 pounds of Alabama linemen and drug him for 10 yards and said, "That's it, we're going home." For this team, for this program, a defining win, a excitement level, a relief level, if you will, a game that took your emotions on every roller coaster spin, dip, and turn that they possibly could have. But tonight, LSU stands at the top of the college football world with a month to go in the season, and they have vanquished the 8-game losing streak to Alabama, and it couldn't feel any better, Rich. It's a great, great night to be a Tiger.
No, you've said it all. I mean, that game is probably the most excited I've been, you know, excited, nervous, mad, angry, happy. It got all my emotions out, and what a hell of a night for, you know, Clyde. I mean, to come out there and not only lead the team in receptions, he rushes for over 100 yards, has 77 yards receiving. I mean, he was a complete and total dominant back. And, you know, you're going to see all these stats, what he did great with the ball in his hands. But I'm telling you, you go back and watch this game again, he was there for a part of every big play. He helped Joe out so much in the pass protection game. He cut guys down. I mean, it was a outstanding performance by a single player.
For a game of this magnitude against an opponent this good, there's any number of things on a checklist that you have to do in order to ensure that you can win the game. Usually, you have to come out and play well very early. LSU did that. The mistakes that were made in the first quarter that led to the lead were made by Alabama, and LSU was able to capitalize on those mistakes. The early fumble by Tua that they were able to flip the field on, the dropped punt turned into points. And even though they had a bit special teams breakdown, they got off to the good start. It wasn't a case where the stadium felt like they were closing in on them. They were able to build the lead. They were able to make big plays in the second quarter, and they took advantage of what I think was a clear sign of how, I don't want to say panicked, but how concerned Nick Saban was about this game when he did something extremely out of character. And this was when I thought to myself, well, LSU's got them on the run, because with 23 seconds to go in the first half and on their own 29-yard line, We watched the end of every first half that Nick Saban coached while he was here, and I've watched plenty of them at Alabama, and he sort of got a little Rubicon in his head about where he wants to push the envelope at the end of a half in order to try to get points. And there's got to be a certain amount of time, and he's got to have a certain amount of field position to be able to do that. And even with the explosive receivers that he has, I can't imagine that his own 29 with 23 seconds to go is a spot against anybody else on their schedule where they choose to push the envelope. No. But they did, and they made the big mistake. And Queen had the interception. They compounded it with the personal foul, and Burrow and Edwards-Helaire, the two heroes on the day, make them pay for it. And that touchdown at the end of the first half made it seem like, yeah, even the biggest doubters, LSU's going to win. And then you had the inevitable comeback. Like the 80s Showtime Lakers, it was like, when's the run coming? But you thought that LSU had built up enough and that they were going to answer enough that they were going to be okay. But, boy, when Alabama got it to one score and LSU had to respond, not once but twice, with drives that went the length of the field and the throws that Burrow made and the runs that Edwards-Helaire made and the completions to Edwards-Helaire and to Justin Jefferson and one to Thaddeus Moss, that move the chains where you just look at it and you go, okay, they drive the field and they score here, they're going to put it away. Yeah. And they did it once and, oh, nope, that's not enough. And then they did it again and, oh, nope, that's not enough. And just when you thought it was time to relax, hey, they're going to win this one. One more time, the guy in the hockey mask comes from around the corner with the machete and 85 yards, and here they go. And now you got to go win it one more time. How many times do you have to win? You gotta go win it one more time, and they did it. Couldn't be happier tonight for Ed Orgeron, for that staff, for that entire team, for Burrow, who I think won the Heisman tonight, and for Edwards-Helaire, who earned the respect of anybody who didn't before as one of the top players on this team and one of the top running backs in the country. You go watch that performance against that team and tell me, who would you trade him for right now? And I don't give me statistics about how tall and how big and how fast and all that. Tell me anybody that plays with more heart than that. There's not anybody.
There's not. And, you know, when you're talking about that guy, I mean, his questions where he was interviewed at the end of the game when they asked him about his heart and he said, you cannot measure it, is the truest statement, because he's a guy that was overlooked going into the season. We're talking about how long before Emory or Price beats him out. How long can he hold, you know, the position for the starting running back?
I'm as guilty of that as anybody.
I'll tell you, I was wrong. Prove everyone wrong. I mean, he's proved not just you. I mean, he's proved me. He's proved everyone wrong. He is a guy that is the best running back on the field, and he's proved that every week. He is the best running back. Doesn't matter who we're playing, both teams on the field, he's been the best one.
It's been so long. It's been the one question that has followed every statement about LSU football for 8 years. You got this recruit, but can you beat Alabama? You won this game, but can you beat Alabama? You went on a win streak, but can you beat Alabama? And for too long, the answer has been no. And this time, they got the win that they so desperately wanted. And I'm not usually one that wants to, you know, talk about carrying guys off the field and dunking the coach after regular season wins and acting like you won a championship when this is still a regular season game. But in the case of this win was so significant to so many. And now you have to look at it and say they have put their mark as the top team in college football with, you know, the rest of November and the beginning of December to go. And how much more could you ask for what we've seen so far? It's been great.
It's the turning point in Orgeron's, you know, tenure at LSU. When you win that game, you can no longer go in these recruiting battles with in-state players, and you can't say, well, we haven't beat Alabama. I mean, we beat them. And to me, I mean, he's told everybody all along that it's coming. We got to get the players. We got to get the scheme. We got to get the quarterback. He's gotten the guys he wanted to get. He's changed the offense where he wanted it to be. He gets the win. I mean, this game is as big around as not just what we're going moving forward in football or with this season, but recruiting, everything around it. I mean, it changes, you know, his short tenure, I mean, but his legacy at LSU.
He said something in the post game that was, I thought, very candid. He said, I told the team that we have the better team.
First time ever is what he said.
That's the part that is, you wouldn't ordinarily see a coach admit that.
Say, no, but, you never see that.
Even when they play, you know, it's a, oh, we can beat anybody if we play our game. It's not really true.
No.
Okay? There's any number of teams on Alabama's schedule that can't beat them on Alabama's worst day and their best. He said it. We now have the personnel, the schematics, and the mentality to go in there. It wasn't just lip service. Said, you know, we got the better team this time.
Yeah.
We can go in there. Well, we don't have to do, said it on Monday, we don't have to do anything that we're not capable of doing. We don't have to do anything extraordinary. We don't have to get a fluke play. We don't have to do anything that would be out of character for us. We just have to go be us. And he was right, and they did, and it's just a great, great
You
night.
Catch the second thing he said? This ain't the last time I'm going to beat Alabama.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I did. Yeah. I did. There's a certain amount of confidence and a certain amount of glee tonight. Yeah. And couldn't feel any better. All right, when we come back, we'll go to the phone lines. 499-9898 on the Hooters hotline. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Tigers win it 46-41. We've been talking long enough. Let's hear from you. 499-9898 is the number. The Hooters hotline. Try Hooters' new Game Day specials. 10 boneless wings and a pitcher of beer for only $19.99. Rob is in Baton Rouge. We'll start with him. Rob, welcome in the show.
Hey, Charlie. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Rob. How are you?
Good. It's been a long time since we've talked, right?
Yeah, I guess. I take a lot of calls in the post-game show, Rob, but dude, I don't know when's the last time you called.
Hey, buddy, it's Robbie Richardson.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's my high school quarterback, man.
There you go.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. I actually am in Baton Rouge tonight, and as you know, a huge Alabama fan.
I am aware of that, and I blocked for you anyway.
I understand. Hey, congrats to LSU. It was a great game. They made the plays, Bama didn't, and you know that's just how it rolls. So it was a outstanding game to watch, but obviously on my end, not that much fun.
Well, it was LSU's time. This is a team that they've been pointing ahead. They've got the quarterback, they got the system, they got the players to do it. So if you know, a lot of people ask, if not now, when? I think there was something to that. So anyway.
Absolutely. Well, I told my wife, she went to Georgia along with the rest of her family, that LSU was going to win tonight. I just had a feeling. But it's tough to be in Baton Rouge and watch that game for sure.
I understand, and I would feel sympathy for you, but you've won enough. So you know,
it feels great in Baton Rouge right now.
Me?
No sympathy for you. You guys,
as far back as we go, Charlie, I can't believe that.
You know what? You guys have won enough. But I tell you what, you're classy to call, man. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Have a safe
Absolutely.
Trip.
Absolutely. Great to hear from you, buddy. Great right. show.
Thanks a lot,
congratulations
Rob.
Appreciate LSU it. And their fans, and hopefully we'll talk soon, buddy.
Well, thanks a lot, man. Wow. Didn't expect that, right?
Especially after an LSU win.
Right out of the chute. Here's a guy is in Tuscaloosa. His name's Stanford. Stanford, welcome into the show.
Charlie, your old pal Stanford here. I got to tell you, you nailed it on your opening comments. They were perfect. I agree with you. A couple things that I got to mention is, one, two people need to go to New York, Burrow and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde Edwards is pure guts. His performance tonight was unbelievable. Second, the way that LSU got off the mat, I don't know that it shows up on TV, but the way that basically Brian Denny turns into a country music discotheque, and they play Dixieland Delight, and these guys, the entire staff, after they scored 14 to start the second half, the way they got off the mat, it was like they got a haymaker. And they got back up and answered it twice. I'm telling you, Charlie, this team is going to go all the way. I feel it. It just didn't show up on TV. I wish you could have been here tonight because it was unbelievable. This is probably LSU's finest hour in 10 years. And so here's my question. I really questioned why they took the sun at their face whenever they won the toss and decided to go against the sun, because I was sitting by the band and the sun was brutal. And I can't understand why they decided to do that.
Yeah,
so I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks a lot. I got no idea. I didn't realize the sun was quite there. We watched on TV, so I can't answer that. Maybe on Monday. SJ, you know, what he said about getting up off the mat, there were two drives when Alabama had cut it to under a touchdown. I mean, those are the drives where you got to answer. The first one is 30 seconds into the fourth quarter. It's 33-27, and they got to go down the field. And it's a 75-yard, 12-play drive to put them up 39-27. And you say, okay, you're up two scores again. And then Alabama goes right back down, and they make it 39-34. And you got to go the length of the field again because they've cut it to one. And if you go three and out there, and how many times has LSU been ahead of Alabama, okay? They made us. We were in Rufino's on Friday, and whatever channel it was playing every Alabama LSU game since 11. And we had the misfortune of when we were there that they were on the 12 and 14 games, which is the ones that LSU led until the end, and then Alabama got
every
the ball
time.
And they scored. And I'm watching, and the lady on the side of me was making fun of me, and she's like, "Why are you doing this to yourself?" And I said, "That's an excellent question. It's like watching the movie Titanic and thinking the boat's going to miss the iceberg this time. No, they're going to go right down again and score." But this time they responded with two 75-yard drives, and I don't have time to go through all of the players. You saw them. That's the biggest gut check in the world, man. Alabama's coming to get you. They have reeled you in from that 20-point lead. They're within one score, and if they get the ball back, God help you. And they responded. Just so huge, so huge. SJ is in Massachusetts. SJ, welcome into the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, SJ.
How you doing? I just want to know, Richard, great show. Hey, love when you are with Matt Flynn and hanging with Hester. You guys are awesome.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Charlie, you stink.
I stink.
I really know. Hey, Stingley sucks. BS.
Good Lord, man.
I don't know what happened. It started off good. He was like,
I stink, and then Stingley stinks.
No, Stingley didn't have his best game, but I mean, we're talking about he's going against first round talent. He's an 18-year-old kid. They had a lot of respect for him because if you go back and look at the game, they didn't throw at Stingley in the first quarter for sure, and I don't remember them really attacking him in the second quarter. They made some plays on him in the second half, but, I mean, the kid is a first-round talent. He's unreal. They did make some big plays on him, but, I mean, that's not a knock on Stingley.
I'm sure we'll get the story on the first half touchdown where he's clearly being
told. Someone's talking to him.
Somebody's talking to him, and I'm sure we'll get that full story next week when they get back, but he's flat-footed, and they snap the ball while they're trying to tell him something, and then, you know,
you
Smith
cannot
is gone.
Be flat-footed against Devontae Smith.
No.
I mean, he's a guy that can fly.
Jonathan in Baton Rouge is next. Jonathan, welcome in the show.
Yes, sir. I got probably two comments I want to know on that last touchdown that Alabama scored. When you went in something like a little prevent on that play,
yes, they're in man coverage, and there's nobody deep, and they brought pressure. I don't remember if it was a linebacker or if it was a safety, but they brought somebody.
It was bad positioning by the safety. He got too shallow. He was sitting at 12 yards when the ball was snapped. He really needed to be about 15, 16. It got behind him.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, they should have played a little prevent on that. I mean, I would have sit, you know, dropped my safety pretty deep.
Yeah, there was a minute 21 to go when they started.
Right.
No, I'm sorry, a minute 35 to go when they started to drive, and a minute 21 when they finished it. Absolutely. I was surprised that they played that aggressively. You play deeper.
You know, how many times have you heard that you're tired of LSU going into prevent?
With one score leads.
Yeah.
With two score leads with under 2 minutes to go, that's a whole different thing. And Alabama only had two timeouts. So if you got, I mean – In that case, up two,
I think
two scores
safety,
versus one score, that's a whole different
if
deal.
If the safety's in the right spot, if he didn't get too shallow, I'm not worried about that play because he has enough time to get over the top, knock the ball down, I think it was poor positioning by the safety in that situation.
And I'm sure we'll get that story next week as well when the party ends. But the party ain't ending tonight. 46-41, LSU beats Alabama. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
Tigers win it tonight by a score of 46-41. Go to 9-0 in the season, 5-0 in the Southeastern Conference. Back to the phone lines, 499-9898 is the number. Hooters Hotline, try Hooters new Game Day specials. 10 boneless wings and a pitcher of beer for $19.99. Glenn is in New Mexico. Glenn, welcome into the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Man, couldn't be better. Hey.
A few things. Is there anything more beautiful than Clyde Edwards-Helaire's spin move and Coach O getting a tear in his eye while in the post-game interview? But other than that, not much to say. It was a great game by the Tigers, but we haven't. I'm not one that has to complain about the referees, but it was one-sided tonight. So what do you guys feel about that? Go Tigers.
I thought the game was pretty well officiated. Yeah. I think this is a tough game to officiate because
coming
of the speed. I know. The speed of the game is tough. Okay. Yeah. They botched the really bad ones. Okay. If they botched something like Patrick Peterson, if they botched something like the Vidal Alexander thing, I'm gonna get on them a little bit.
I think for every questionable call that you come for LSU, they had one for Alabama as well. It's pretty even.
They missed one on Racy McMath. Okay, he should have been called for a face mask. There was one on a fairly important third down where they face masked Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they missed it. All right. Here's the official word on the Moss play. If the receiver is for, this is from the SEC. They got this out there. Okay, I mean, look, if I'm going to jump there behind about having a statement ready when Devin White breathes on somebody and gets thrown out of the game, then I'm going to give him credit for coming out about this. You know, it was a controversial play. If the receiver is forced out of bounds due to contact by the defender, the receiver can reestablish position on the field and make a legal catch. On the play in question, the ruling on the field was that the receiver was forced out of bounds by contact, which you can see that he's pushed. Does he get that toe back down? It's sort of obscured by the pylon a little bit.
The view we had earlier.
We get that. Okay. Did he get that foot down in time? Okay, it's a close call. I get it, and it was an important part of the game. But man, look, we spent too many games talking about really, really. And if you're watching on the live stream with us, you
can't get any closer.
Yeah, the officiating is not anything that was on my radar tonight. Trace is in Baton Rouge. Trace, welcome into the show.
Charlie.
Hey, Trace.
You did it 8 years in a row, baby. It's over with.
It is.
So exciting. I'm freaking pumped, so is everyone else. I cannot wait until the season is over and see how we finish. National championship, baby. We're coming. We're on the way. Awesome game. I'm super pumped, so is everyone else.
Thank you, Trace. Appreciate the call.
I love that type of enthusiasm. Everybody is super pumped.
Don't wait for the don't. I can't wait for the season to be over. This is one of those seasons. I would, you know, they wanted to do 10 more weeks. But I hope that there's 6 more games.
Yeah,
that would be the perfect way to end it. Frank is in Tampa. Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love your show. You guys are awesome. Look forward to it all the time. You guys never disappoint. But first of all, Clyde Edwards-Helaire obviously has been the MVP that nobody expected this year. The guy has been unbelievable. Big time player. Didn't expect that this year. But question is, I know we're on a big win here tonight. Didn't expect it. What happens if LSU was to lose the SEC championship game against Georgia and we're all sitting with one loss?
Yeah, that's it. Okay. That's a good question, Frank. The SEC champions getting into the playoff.
Yeah.
So you start
there. I don't think it matters at this point. I mean, when you're talking about the resume and what LSU's done, you heard about, you know, why they were ranked number 2. You go ahead and beat Alabama, your fourth top 10 team of the year. You win out, you beat Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M, and you lose a close one. I mean, I'm not going there. We're going to win whoever we play, because I have that much confidence beating the East.
I cannot fathom that there would be a one-loss team with a better record than LSU.
Yeah.
And there won't be four undefeated teams. So you're talking about the difference between – you're talking about a 12-1 LSU against a 12-1 Baylor, Oklahoma. And now I guess if Baylor somehow managed to win out and they – Well, man, it just barely got home today.
It'd have to be a 12-1 Ohio State. Maybe would have lost to Penn State, and that's where it might get a little dicey.
Yeah. Putting this win up, okay, Alabama hadn't lost a game in 4 years there.
Yeah.
In Tuscaloosa. He's, 72-4 at home. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You go win there? Who else has got that? I mean, they had plenty coming in, okay? Auburn, Florida. Texas is fading. Was fading a little bit there in the middle. They won today. I can't even mathematically find a one loss team that would have a better record, a better resume than LSU, with the exception of the fact that you would have conference champions potentially coming out of the Pac-12 and the Big 12. But no, there's too many wins here.
Say you're a one loss LSU team. Is it better for Alabama to beat Auburn or for Auburn to beat Alabama? Or is that kind of because you're talking about big games going forward, is that game kind of a wash at that point?
Okay, from what I understand that's going on in the outside world, I've been in this studio here for about 8 hours now, but what I understand is going on in the outside world is the lobbying has already begun to get a one-loss Alabama team in, and there wouldn't be a
Auburn to beat them and completely end that conversation.
You ever watched the movie Independence Day?
Yeah.
You remember when the aliens came down and they wanted to kill everybody?
Yeah.
If the aliens came down and played Alabama, I'd root for the aliens, okay? So yes, I'll be rooting for Auburn. But no, still the win in Tuscaloosa would trump anything anybody else had.
Trump was there.
He was there. Yeah. He was there. I understand he got quite the ovation.
Yeah.
Although I was not listening at the time. 499-9898 is the number to call. We'll take a break. Eagle 98.1 game day.
Eagle 98.1 game day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
LSU wins it tonight 46-41 over Alabama.
Doesn't that feel good?
I've been waiting a long time to say that. Try Hooters' new game day specials, 10 boneless wings and a pitcher of beer for $19.99. Call us now on the Hooters hotline, 499-9898. Chase is in Houston. Chase, welcome into the show.
Hey, Charlie, fan of the program. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
Hey, guys, so I see Joey Galloway already on national ESPN talking about, Tua was hampered. What are the odds we have to play that team again? And surely they take a one-loss Oregon over one-loss Alabama, right? Oregon lost on a neutral field of a good Auburn team.
I can't guarantee you that, Chase.
I don't want to play anybody again.
It's
the hardest thing to do in football.
I don't either. Look, I can't promise you that committee – is not going to look at this and tell you that a one-loss Alabama team's not one of the best four teams in the country. And Las Vegas is going to tell you the same thing. They're going to tell you that if Alabama played Oregon or Utah or Oklahoma or whoever is the second-place team in the Big Ten, they're going to be a favorite and probably a significant favorite. But I'm of the opinion that it should be on the most deserving. Not everybody on the committee agrees with that. For instance, if the first playoff rankings came out this week and we paid attention because LSU's in it, and what were we looking for? We're trying to figure out what the committee values, okay? So we found out that this week what the committee valued was the eyeball test for Ohio State because they had the high offensive and defensive numbers, even though they had beaten nobody in the top 10 and LSU had beaten two teams in the top 11 as it turned out. So it wasn't based on resume last Tuesday. If it was, LSU would have been in front of Ohio State. Now they will be this week. I'm only telling you that to say that if LSU's the number one team in the country, and most assuredly they are, and somebody in that committee room stands up and says, look, man, Alabama played them 5 points with a quarterback that was hobbled. That may carry some weight. I don't think it should.
No.
Against a one-loss conference champion that's beaten other teams in the top 10 or whatever. I think that, you know, the Duke, Notre Dame still beating Duke, whatever.
Right.
Duke's not any good. Okay, you went out and scheduled Duke. Okay. And you have ruptured yourself trying to keep the scheduling in the Southeastern Conference the way it is, so you very rarely as possible, have to play Georgia and Florida. So now you should pay the price for that.
Yeah.
Okay? I understand that in the past years you've scheduled a Michigan, you've scheduled a USC, but this year you scheduled Duke. You scheduled Duke in basketball. I'll give you all the credit in the world. Okay? Scheduled Duke. And there should be a price to be made for that. And if your best win is over a team with three losses, which could very well be the case by the time the season is over, then I got a hard time. You played them close. You played LSU close. You were at home. But the Tua injury thing is just going to piss me off. The longer we get. No. If he was hurt, they should have held him out. Okay.
Yeah.
He played. He played the whole game. Jones didn't play a single
Saban
snap.
Saban would have put Jones in if Tua was hurting him.
That's right. That's right. So he played, okay? Is he at less than 100%? I'm quite certain.
Yeah.
And I got all the respect in the world for that kid, by the way.
No doubt.
He plays the game hard. He plays the game the right way. He's a fabulous talent, and he carries himself impeccably. I'm a fan of him personally. I can't stand Alabama's team because, well, just
I'll
because.
I'll root for two in the next level.
I got no problem with that kid. But you can't just automatically assume, well, if, you know, his ankle was at 80% or 90% or 70% or whatever number you want to make. Everybody has injuries.
Yeah.
And when you get into that business and you get into the, well, you know, if he would have, you know, he would have played, it would have been different. You know, how can you do it anything other than based on what they've done? What if the committee had said the year that Ohio State won the championship, well, you know, JT Barrett's hurt. Well, they got to play their third string quarterback now. They got to play Cordell Jones.
Yeah.
They're not going to be as good. They shouldn't be in a playoff.
Yeah.
Really? Well, based on the amount of games that they won, they got in the playoff. And guess what? Cordell Jones went in. They won the damn national championship. So don't tell me what you think. Tell me what is actually down there and is merit-based.
Yeah.
Okay? Do I think, and I'll say it, I said it in the school board show, I'll say it again, I'll just let it, you know, end on this. Do I think Alabama is one of the top four teams in the country today? I do.
Yeah.
Do I think they have one of the most four deserving resumes in the country? I don't. That's not even close. 499-9898 is the number to call. Ricky's in California. Ricky, welcome into the show.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, it's going great. Going, couldn't be any better.
Y'all good?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
More than somewhat.
You know what? Great day for us, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, it's been 8-9 years running, right? Defensive line looked fantastic. Backers looked great. They were spreading it out. I mean, they kept going. But just to kind of go back to what you were just saying, if Alabama tries to backdoor their way in this deal by saying, oh, we lost, we did this, we did that, we lost by 5 points, all that kind of crap, dude, that's terrible, bro.
That's already started.
And, yeah.
That's already started, and just gear yourself up for it.
It's just bad, dude. But we played. We beat the living snot out of those boys.
Well,
and I'm very proud of being
The good news, Ricky, is that LSU doesn't. We've spent the better part of the last 3 weeks talking about everything from after the Auburn game. What if LSU loses to Alabama? Where does it put them? We don't have to ask those questions anymore. Okay. And we'll let all of this play out. And when I got a little bit of a more perspective on this, I'll tell you who to root for, because as Dixon says here, you know, a rematch. Look, man,
you never won it.
No,
I mean, and that's not saying.
Come
that you're
on, man,
they
went to Tuscaloosa and they beat them. All right, you know, this is not a neutral field. This is not, you know, a bowl game. They went to Tuscaloosa and they beat them. You know, can we talk about what's...
Game day in Tuscaloosa, they beat them.
Yeah.
As hyped as it could have been.
Can we talk about what's fair for the number one damn team once? You know, well, this is what's fair for Alabama. Screw Alabama, okay? They lost, okay? Every year that they won, they got to go, okay?
Yeah.
They lost. And they didn't schedule anybody. And they didn't schedule anybody. And they didn't schedule anybody on purpose, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know what? I got no sympathy for you, okay? I got no... no feeling at all. Okay, they manipulate the doggone system to where this stuff works out for them more often than anybody else. Okay, and damn it, in a year where you don't play the teams out of the East that are at the top, and you don't play anybody non-conference that's anywhere close to the top, and you finally have to play somebody that's good, and you get them in your stadium, and you lose, I'm done talking. I'm done talking about that, okay? Your argument is nil. I get Saban's the best coach ever. Great. Won 6 national championships. No argument. Been the better team for the last 8 years. Nothing. Your time's over, okay? You lost. Yeah. That's it. Now, if everybody else loses 2 games, then we'll talk about that. But don't give me this resume. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about ankle injuries. I don't want to hear about past games. I don't want to hear. Show me what you got right here.
Yeah.
You lost. Okay. You know, we'd have had to sit up here if Alabama had gotten the ball back and had won this game 48 to 46 or whatever. Would it be 49 to 46? I'd be like, man, you know what? They gave it their best shot, but they didn't get there.
Yeah.
Chips fall right. They might get into the playoff. They might not. No, they won a game. That's it. We're done talking about whether they get into the. Well, I am. Okay.
I love this side of you.
And you know what? I just lied right here on the radio because I'm not done talking about this, because they're gonna come with this argument for the better part of the next month. This is lobbying at its finest. Okay.
We need to
bring James Carville in here, right? They'll solve it.
Does Auburn still have to? They play Georgia.
They play Georgia.
And okay, so that's when the argument's going to get interesting. If Auburn beats Georgia, then Alabama beats Auburn.
Yeah.
They're going to start arguing really hard.
At the end of the season, it's going to be very difficult for Alabama to put up a resume. Okay. Forget about eyeball test. Okay. A resume.
What you've done.
Yes, what you've done, who you've beaten. It's going to be very difficult for them to put up a resume that is in the top four. But the reason I can't tell Chase or anybody else that's listening tonight that won't happen is we've already seen it
happen.
Okay, we saw it on Tuesday. It was Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Tuesday, committee said we don't care that you beat Auburn. We don't care that you beat Florida. We don't care that you beat Texas. Ohio State looks better to us, so we're going to rank them ahead of that. And I can't promise you that when the first week in December comes around and they look and say, well, Oklahoma did this and Oregon or Utah did this and Penn State or whoever else did this out of the Big Ten, but we just think Alabama's better and we're going to put them in. Yeah. I can't promise you that won't happen. I can promise you I'm going to complain about it, but I can't promise you it won't happen. 499-9898 is the number to call. Stefan in Crowley is next. Stefan, welcome into the show.
Man, first of all, what a great time to be a Tiger.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I mean, winning in Tuscaloosa right in their
love winning. It's like better than losing.
Oh, well, so much better than losing every day of the week. Man, I said it in my poem earlier this week, sitting in a parking lot in New Orleans watching that championship game because I couldn't afford to get in the building.
Lucky guy.
And we're sitting there watching that game and thinking, man, the tide's turning on us. We're going to lose our dominance. These guys are taking over. I can't help but feel right now the tide's turning again. I'm not saying we're going to become dominant and Alabama's just going to dwindle away. But the rise of Clemson, the rise of Georgia, all these teams that are starting to get better and better, I think the emperor's reign might be coming to an end.
Well, there's some teams up there that are recruiting on their level, Stefan.
Alabama's not going anywhere as long as Nick Saban's there. He's the greatest coach of all time.
That's correct.
And we'll give him that. But I'll tell you what, that LSU is, as a program, an equal right now. They have the talent. They have the scheme. They have the coaching staff. And going forward, you know, the way that they're playing and the way that they want to play, the style of football they want to play, they're going to be a challenge every year.
He knows where the biggest threats lie to them. They lie here, they lie in Athens, they certainly lie at Clemson, South Carolina, and they lie at Auburn. Okay, those are the teams. And I would have told you a couple of months ago that they lie in Texas, at Texas A&M as well, but that's been put off for a little bit. They did not make the step up in year two with Jimbo that I anticipated that they would, so that's on hold for the time being. But no, he's still going to recruit at an elite level. Look, if these two teams play 10 times, okay, 5 in Baton Rouge and 5 in Tuscaloosa. You know what I think happens? Honest to goodness, I think
50-50.
Yeah. I think each team wins 3 games at home and 2 games on the road. I mean, I'm going to tell you Alabama's not good.
I just said the same thing. A buddy of mine was talking to me. I said, this is a true 50-50 game. I think we play 10 times. It's 5-5.
I do too. And I think you would win one more than you lost at home. I think, again, it'd be 3 wins and 2 losses at home. The talent level. Watch the NFL draft next spring. You're going to see buku people off this team get drafted. Way more than you're going to see drafted off LSU. Just this draft. We had a discussion about that on Friday. So the talent level, coaching level, LSU just beat them.
Yeah.
They just beat them. I mean, I don't want to say, how stupid would it be for me to sit here and go, man, Alabama sucks. You know, they're terrible. You just discounted everything you did about your win. I got a friend of mine.
That's like the chant, overrated.
I got a good friend of mine, and it's his biggest pet peeve in sports. He goes, whenever you beat a team and your fans start chanting overrated, it's like, why are you doing that?
You just
discredited your own team's win over that. Wait a minute, am I going to sit here and go, yeah, Alabama ain't any good? No, really good. That's a hard place to win.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 teams have done it in Saban's tenure.
You saw at one point when they were up by 10, or when LSU was up by 10, it was the biggest deficit LSU's had in a regular season that Alabama's had since 2015.
Share with the audience what you told me when they were up, I think it was 12 or 13 with 9 minutes to go. You said against
I told you, anybody, I said, this is the only game that we can be up this amount and I'm still nervous.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking something can happen.
Well, it was trying to get the score right. 39-27 with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, and I was still sweating.
Everybody was, okay? If it's 39-27 and they're playing Florida, do you think they're going to win? And Florida's good.
Yeah, no, okay? I'm confident. I feel good.
If it's 39-27 and they're playing Mississippi State,
feel great.
I'm taking my post-game notes. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Against Alabama? You know, no, here comes the guy in the hockey mask again.
When you go to an onside kick against Alabama, and we've had the close calls this year on the onside kick, I'm like, does it finally get us right now?
Yeah. We're not giving Justin Jefferson enough credit for that.
That was
either,
a hell of a kick.
That was a very difficult
catch.
Ball.
The way the ball was spinning, I mean, he made a hell of a play. And, you know, that's a play where you can see that kick was perfect. I mean, it was a hard ball to catch. I mean, man, that was a clinching moment. I mean, he needs a lot of praise for that.
That was is pressure packed. What's going through you? You used to be on the hands team,
I told
team, right?
you. I hated it. Yeah, right. I used to get more nervous. It didn't matter before the game, after the game. When the situation was coming, I was like, they might onside kick it. The last thing in the world I wanted to hear yelled was hands team, because I was going to be one of the guys that was kicked at.
Did you ever catch one?
No.
Okay. You know,
I got close.
Back when
bad kicks. If it was a good kick, I'd have had to catch some.
The rules were different back then. You get your clock clean back then.
You were getting destroyed.
Yeah. They've made protection rules now, but you.
Back then, it was, I mean, a lot before targeting and all that. They were going for your head when you went for that ball.
That doesn't sound like a fun job.
No, it was the worst job ever.
499-9898 is the number to call. Back to the phone lines when we come back. Tigers win 46-41. Eagle 98.1 game day.
Eagle 98.1 game day. Presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
LSU wins at 46-41 this afternoon in Tuscaloosa. College football world says, man, look at that. That was really impressive.
The Baton Rouge world says that.
You know, we say that a lot. You know, we follow LSU. We live and die with LSU from week to week. But, you know, Joe Rod, our video producer tonight, was saying that, you know, a guy like Stephen A. Smith is on, you know, Twitter saying, man, I was wrong. And not that Stephen A. Smith, he's more of a basketball guy, you know, show. But the national media's got to take notice, and the committee's got to take notice, and LSU will be number one everywhere. And this turns into like the end of 2011 when LSU went there and won, and it was like, hey, they're the best. And right up to the point where, you know, we know how the season ended. But all the way to that point, it's really fun. It's like There ain't no debate anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe. No. We're done talking. Okay. We'll catch you at the end of the season. But right now, to be on top of the college football world feels very, very good, and I'm happy for those. I'm happy for those players. I'm happy for those coaches because there was an enormous amount of pressure.
No doubt. I mean, those seniors on that team who have lost to Alabama. I mean, you're talking about fifth-year seniors who've lost to them 4 years in a row. Any time that you just have that team, we talk about it to this day. Everybody goes by when we're talking to former players. What's your record against Florida? Yeah. What's your record against Alabama? No one wants to say 0-4, 0-5. I mean, to get that win, to say that you went out there and did it, I mean, it's huge, and it means a lot, and it's something that they'll talk about every year going forward.
499-9898 is the number. Hooters Hotline, try the new game day specials at Hooters. 10 boneless wings and a pitcher of beer for $19.99. Back to the phone lines. Richard is in Houma. Richard, welcome into the show.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Richard.
I tell you what, I don't know about you guys, but I got the cigar lit. Man, I tell you, it's sweet, but it's dry from 9 years being on the shelf, man. So
we got some empty glasses in here that I think may get put to use near the end of the show. So
I hear you, but it's really sweet, man. I got to tell you, you know, after a big win like this, some people may doubt, may think, man, hopefully no letdowns. But, man, with this crew we got, man, especially number nine, I just don't see it. I don't see a letdown, man. We got it rolling, and I think we're on the right track, man. So as far as Tuscaloosa, man, like Detillier said this week, I think the iceberg's melting, man. Iceberg's melting over there. So let's keep it rolling, brother.
Yeah, well, it melted a little bit tonight, and
there's no question what you said about letdowns and where you feel about number nine, Joe Burrow. And you know, I've played with great leaders. I've been around a lot of great football players. I mean. But two of my best friends, Matt Flynn and Jacob Hester, we talk about it all the time, that number nine is the best leader. I mean, we talk about Matt was a great leader, and you know he's not going to knock me when I say this. Joe Burrow even has more than what Matt had. He's a guy that wants to go put his head down. We saw the big plays today. Some of the biggest plays, he threw for over 300 yards. He made two big runs at the end of the game that were putting his head down. He didn't slide. He's not trying to just get enough. He's going all out, and guys want to play for him. The offensive line wants to do everything they can in the world for him. The defense wants to perform for him. He is a transcending leader. He's a guy you don't get those type of players all very often.
Let me tell you what I think of Joe Burrow. I told you earlier in the show, I think that the Heisman Trophy race ended today.
Think about that. You're talking about LSU's had Billy Cahn as the only Heisman Trophy winner.
Which means that in about 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about Joe Burrow as the greatest living college football player from LSU.
Yeah.
We lost Dr. Cannon last year. It's going to be documented. It's not even really going to be, you know, all that much of a pain. You're going to say, this guy in 125 years of LSU football, he's been recognized as the greatest living LSU football player that there is.
Does that game make him the first QB off the board?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah. I think it does. I think he did everything you have to do today. The accuracy, the arm strength is not Elway-ish or anything like that. It's plenty good enough. The toughness, the cool under pressure. Can there be any bigger stuff? We talked about this on Friday, you and I. Can there be any more pressure on Joe Burrow going into this game than there was? SEC title, playoffs, Heisman Trophy, your stock in the draft, which is, you know, the difference between being the number one pick and even the number five pick is millions and millions of dollars. Everybody in the world is watching. Louisiana, which is your adopted home, everybody's been dying to beat these people for the better part of a decade. Everybody believes in you. Can there be any more pressure on you to perform? And did it look like he was in any way fazed?
No.
I mean, it's not that Alabama didn't put pressure on him. They sacked him five times today. But did he ever look like he was rattled?
You get sacked five times and you still complete 80% of your passes, throw for 358 yards, rush for another 50, 60 yards. I mean, there was no pressure. To me, he was as calm and cool, calm, collected as any game in the season.
15 months ago, we didn't know who this guy was.
No.
17
We knew what type of leader he was. We didn't know what type of football player he was.
Be honest. In May of 2018, did you know who Joe Burrow was?
No.
I mean, once they described him to me, I knew there was a quarterback battle going on up at Ohio State. But so in May of 2018, Joe Burrow, name rings a bell. He's one of the backups up at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea that that kid would come here and change a lot of lives? A lot of
change
lives.
His own life.
His own, most of all, but a lot of other ones, too. Kerry is in Baton Rouge. Kerry, welcome into the show.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, Kerry.
First of all, I mean, I'm so sick of it because I'm watching ABC. They're saying Ohio State is still number one because they beat Maryland by, 75. It's just sickening. It's like, man, we went.
Who is saying that?
It's on ABC, the ABC halftime show.
You have to tell me who's saying that before I know whether or not that I need to take them serious. Okay.
They're saying Alabama should be, I don't know. It's like they're saying.
Kerry, look, here's the thing. Tomorrow, LSU is going to be number one in the AP poll. They're going to be number one in the coaches poll. And on Tuesday, they're going to be number one in the CFP.
Right? We went to Tuscaloosa, beat them.
Don't worry about stupid people then. You're worrying about the wrong stuff, man. They're going to be number one in all the polls. Don't worry about it.
You're talking about Ohio State ain't playing nobody, man.
Kerry. You're worried about the wrong things, man.
Don't be mad.
You DVR'd the game, right?
Yeah.
Go back and watch it.
Yeah. go back and watch it, man. You're gonna be fine. Chris is in Lauraville. Chris, welcome into the show.
Hey, Charles. How's it going?
Good, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted. We're talking about the one loss teams getting in and how Alabama can get in there. What if we went out and we played Georgia for the SEC championship game? We lose to Georgia, and we each have that one loss.
I said this earlier in the show, Chris, and I can't know how every game's going to play out in the month of November, but it is very difficult for me to see a one-loss team from any conference that can put together a better record, a better resume than LSU as a 12-1 loser in the Southeastern Conference Championship game if that occurred. Now, what I can't do is this isn't the BCS. When we were doing BCS shows, and I got to know Brad Edwards at ESPN very well because there were 6 computer rankings, and that was solid. We knew exactly what every win meant down to the third decimal point, and we had him on, and he said, if this happens, this happens, and we had to talk about games in the whack at times because it affected strength of schedule. I can't do that here because I can't get in the heads of the committee members. This is a completely subjective committee. They have analytics, to be sure. They have data stacked to the ceiling. But I can't tell you what matters to them the most. And what I think is scaring some people, and I think it's valid, is they looked at the resumes on Tuesday and said, we understand that LSU has a better resume than Ohio State, but we think Ohio State is better. Yeah. Now, they won't say that this week where LSU is concerned, but I think what everybody wants me to say tonight, is so they can go say, Hanegraaff said on the postgame that Alabama can't get in the playoff. I can't tell you that. I can tell you that I don't think that they can put together a playoff-worthy resume. But I can't tell you that those 15 committee members won't get in that room and go, you know what, they lost to LSU by 5, but they'd beat any of these other teams, in our opinion, so we're going to put them in. I can't promise you that won't happen.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting to see what the Vegas odds do, because the Vegas odds backed up the playoff committee. They were 9-4 odds to win the championship. Alabama, Clemson were 3-1. LSU was 4-1. So, you know, the odds were in Ohio State's favor, but, I mean – if you're going to say that resume is a criteria of what we're doing in the college football playoff, then there's no way that you can put Ohio State ahead of LSU right now.
No, no. The win in Tuscaloosa buys you unbelievable street cred here with the committee. I mean, so few teams do it.
Four teams since, 2008,
I think it was, his second year.
That's incredible.
Let me ask you this. You watch a lot of college football. If Ohio State was going to Tuscaloosa next week, who do you think would win?
Alabama, no question.
No, I don't think – well, okay, that's your opinion. My opinion is it would be a game about like what we saw today.
Yeah.
That it would be very evenly matched. It would be a high-scoring, one-possession type game. And if they played 10 times, five at the Shoe and five in Tuscaloosa, that probably you'd be a 5-5. I think Ohio State's really good, okay? And it would definitely matter if Chase Young played.
Yes.
But I can't tell you that Ohio State would beat Alabama or Alabama beat Ohio State. I think it'd be really, really close. But Ohio State hasn't lost, and they're the favorites to win the Big Ten, and there's something that goes along with that. Again, are they, in my opinion, are they one of the four best? Yeah, they are. I think they're really, really good. But are they the most deserving? And I lean towards most deserving. The committee, not so much, at least not in the first week.
Yeah.
And it's a different committee every year. I think people need to understand that, too.
Yeah.
Like, what did the committee do last year? Matters a little bit, but they turn over multiple guys on that committee every year. So last year's committee and this year's committee, I can't tell you that they're going to react the same way.
No, and if you're telling me to pick my top four teams right now, it's going to be Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Alabama. I still think with this win and that LSU beat Alabama on the road, I still would put them in the top four.
Scott is in Walker. Scott, welcome into the show.
What's going on, Charlie? It's a great night to be a Tiger.
Yes, it is.
Long time listener. I'm going to take you back a few minutes. Last time I called in, it was snowing in New Orleans. LSU had beaten Illinois in the Sugar Bowl. They were dancing on the tables in Denny's. Give the ball to Tommy Banks. The band was solid back in those days.
It was snowing on us, and I was doing the show with 103 fever. I remember it very well.
Well, tonight I just want to say I'm so glad to have Coach O in the spot he's in. The man had tears in his eyes at midfield and post-game. He is a true Tiger. He represents the state of Louisiana well. His accent, his history. The man is living a dream. He wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he's one of us, and I couldn't be more proud to have him. And there's no way that a Tom Herman or a Jimbo Fisher or all those guys could have us in the spot that we're in as Tigers. Number one in the country, Heisman Trophy candidate, and we're back on top. And that's all I want to say. Go Tigers.
Good call, Scott.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. Should let him do the open. It was pretty good. So Wyatt is in Mississippi. Wyatt, welcome into the show.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I really enjoyed listening to it while I was driving back from Mississippi back to Baton Rouge. So I want to echo the last caller and just say it really meant a lot to me at the end of that game to hear Coach Ogeron talk about how happy he was for the state of Louisiana, for the college, for LSU, for all those kids, and great kudos to a lot of wonderful young men, 18 to 21, 22-year-old young men that really put up a fight tonight and came out on top, and I'm proud to be a Tiger. Thank you.
Thank you, Wyatt. Appreciate it.
No, and I agree with everybody in the last caller talking about it wouldn't mean as much to Tom Herman. I mean, you can see how much this means to Coach Ogeron. He's born and raised in Louisiana. It's such a great fit, and man, it's just perfect the way it's working out for him.
The Louisiana part is significant. I think any coach once they take over a team, okay, they work with these guys every day. Their assistants, the staff, the players, you develop personal relationships, and it means a lot to you for those people. But when it means something to the rest of the community, the state, yeah, I think that's different.
Yeah.
I think if somebody else were the coach here, they'd say, you know, I'm so happy for the players and the staff, and I'm happy for our fans, and that's all fine and good. But, yeah, it does get a little bit deeper. He knew what this win meant.
He's heard from everybody in his hometown all across Louisiana. This game, he knew the people it affected, the people who cared about it. I mean, it's a huge win, and he knows that and knows everybody it affects.
Rich, you've only been doing the show with us for a couple of years, but how many times have we sat in here and gotten a call, even after a big win, okay, and said, and had somebody call us or post or something like that, well, that's fine, but what about Alabama?
Yeah. We had a call earlier this year that said, well, Alabama's still going to route y'all.
Yes, yeah. Of course, but because that's what's been happening. I understand why they would have said that. I mean, sometimes it's trolls, but sometimes it's people. I got a call. I do a show in Lafayette on Thursdays, and the guy said, I'm sorry. I know we got a great chance. I know we got a great quarterback. I know all of this stuff. He goes, but until I actually see, and he was serious.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to be a jerk. He was genuine. He said, I'm sorry, Charlie, until I see it with my own two eyes, I don't think we can beat Nick Saban over there.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I can completely understand why you feel that way. Okay. It's reasonable to have looked at the prior results and expect the same thing. But this was different. And that's why it's so meaningful to people. It's like, okay, I listen with my eyes. But so many of the post games that we do, it was the Mississippi State game, I think, that somebody posted, and I just remember this random post, it said, we didn't do anything to get closer to beating Alabama today. And I thought, okay, what I have to explain to you is they're going to prepare for that game a lot differently, and so is Alabama. But I can't tell you they're going to win. That I hate to use the word elephant in the room because it sounds so hokey, but that one thing that they couldn't get done for so long. When I was doing a show in the 90s, we used to, and look, the 90s ran a big gambit because the beginning was the worst time ever at LSU football, and then they got going for a little bit, you know, at the middle of the decade, and then it petered out at the end. But it was every year we went in and I said, there's no way they're going to beat Spurrier. Spurrier was the Saban of the 90s. You know, they were just, it's like, look, man. They may win some games. They may go to a bowl game. They went to a few. They had some losing seasons. And I don't know what they're going to do, but they ain't going to beat Spurrier. And then they beat him one time out of 12. Yeah. And, of course, they lost other games that year. It was starting to be that way with Saban. It's just, well, you know, you can go to the Fiesta Bowl. You go to the Sugar Bowl. You might even make the playoffs, but you're going to have to do it with one loss because you're not beating that guy.
Orgeron said it best. I mean, you go back over the last few years and – because I'm an LSU guy, I was like, I give us a shot to beat them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we weren't equal talent. They had a lot better talent on the field. And, you know, Orgeron told us candidly or told us on air that saying, this is the first time in my career that I've told my team, you're the better football team.
I remember doing this post game last year. LSU had been so thoroughly dominated at the line of scrimmage that it was – we didn't even have to talk about schematics or things like that.
It's just they were
like,
better.
Yeah, you can draw up anything you want. You ain't beating that team if they're that much better than you up front and to make this much ground up in 1 year.
Incredible.
Wow. All right. Chris is in Baton Rouge. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
Good.
I want to talk about Clyde. He came into the season. I don't think anybody really expected him to. I know I kind of assumed that the freshmen were going to kind of take control of the running back situation. I wasn't expecting Clyde to be the player that he is. And then the game that he had, I think Joe won the Heisman tonight, but Clyde won the game.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
I just think he just. There was just so many plays. Well, that third down catch where he caught it by his feet, and he just pummeled his way and just wouldn't be stopped to get the first down on that third down. I mean, that was massive.
Yeah, there were
massive
to that third down and 10. That was as big a play as there was anywhere in the game. Chris, we said it at the beginning of the scoreboard show. It's not that he had his best game of his career or that he had the best game of the season. It's that he had a legendary performance. This is
legendary. This is
in the – we talked about Hester against Florida and all of the fourth downs, and we're still talking about that, you know, 13 years after it happened. We'll talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire's night tonight for a very, very long time. It's one of those ones that will go down as one of the greatest performances in LSU history.
There's no question.
Yeah, because those two answer drives we had in the fourth quarter were just massive.
Answer drives.
You know, Alabama was coming.
Term.
They were coming with everything they had, and we answered. And I mean, that's That's what you win championships on, if you can answer when you get punched in the mouth. And he was a big part of those drives.
He was. And twice. And twice.
Not only that, and the plays he made were great, and you know the catches, the runs. But when you go back, and when this game's going to be played on the ESPN Classics for years to come, you're going to watch him, what he did in the blocking and the pass protection. I mean, he is a – when we talk about – you keep talking about Jacob Hester, and when that Florida game made him an LSU legend, well, Jacob was a all-around back. He could block. He could catch. He could run. Clyde did all of that tonight. He was a complete, you know, 100% all-around back. He did everything that you could ask from a guy to protect this team, and, man, he had a hell of a night.
He drugged the middle of the Alabama defense for 10 yards.
1,200 plus pounds on his back.
Yeah, to put the game away. It's one of the damnedest plays I've ever seen. Greg is in Baton Rouge. Greg, welcome into the show. Nope, hang on a second. Let me try this again. Greg, go ahead. Like, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I just wanted to iterate. So I got four letters. C-A-L-M. Calm. You got Joe Burrow, a guy who's coming out looking like basically one of the best quarterbacks that I've ever witnessed in college football ever. And I know I haven't been around that long, and some older guys might disagree. But here's the deal. He falls with grace. He gets tackled, and he keeps his eye on the ball. I mean, if you saw you watched his eyes when he threw those deep balls. He didn't care that he was getting smoked. He just took it like a man. He's looking like a professional quarterback, and I know you see all these guys, Luke Falk, Sam Darnold, and they're not looking too great right now. I think I can guarantee Joe Burrow is going to go into the league and impress any type of spectator, fan, rivalry teams. He's good. But I also have to say Clyde Edwards-Helaire had the single – cleanest spin move I have ever witnessed next to Michael freaking Vick. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's got tree trunks for legs. And there was that play where he stared the corner down in his eyeballs and said, I'm getting this first down. And two guys jumped on him and he didn't give a crap. And I love it. I love to see it. Go Tigers, and I'm just glad to be a Tiger fan today, baby.
Thank you, Greg.
And what people keep running the ball, he had 9 targets, 9 catches. His hands are phenomenal. He's got hands like a receiver.
And one of those balls was –
fingertip.
Yeah.
One of the hardest balls to catch. When you get a ball below your knees and you're running out, you have to change your eyes. You have to completely change your focus, and to catch it on the tip of your fingers. I mean, his hands are phenomenal.
Shane is in Shreveport. Shane, welcome into the show.
Hey.
Go ahead, Shane.
Man, I just want to talk about how the offensive line did a hell of a job tonight. I really think they were the stars of the game, opened it up for Clyde, and Burrow did a hell of a job. In the immortal words of Ed Orgeron, fuck them.
All right. Jules in Abbeville is next. Jules, welcome into the show.
Hey, Richard.
Hey.
Hey, congrats on getting a play and your name mentioned on that SEC history.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, hey, Charles.
Yeah.
Maybe we can pick them next year.
Hey, that's right. That's right. You were listening on Thursday with that call I'm referencing, right?
Yeah, I figured that was me that you were talking about. And normally,
no, it wasn't. You said something similar, but there was another guy that had called. But yeah, it was a similar type thing. What we're talking about.
But normally, I call in and I'll point out a deficiency or something. I'm not going to do that tonight. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, when the season started, I didn't think he was anything like this. The guy's phenomenal. Burrow's phenomenal. Go Tigers.
No, and actually, I'm kind of curious. If you had a deficiency, what would you say it was?
I don't think he has great straight line speed.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you're asking me to nitpick tonight, but.
You know, to me, I mean, the offensive line, they played a great game. You know, you still gave up 5 sacks. That's one thing that really concerned me. I was talking about earlier in the week that, you know, the sacks is going to be a huge thing, whoever gets sacked more. But. I mean, we just made the plays when we needed to make them, and to me, the turnovers was huge, and getting the extra possessions is, you know, where the game lied.
Right. I would tell you that there's multiple first round picks on that first upfront group.
Yeah.
For Alabama, Lewis is probably going to be a top half of the first round pick. If not, he'll definitely go in the first round for sure. I think he's probably a high teens pick. Raekwon Davis is probably a late one.
Yeah.
You know, probably somewhere in the back half of the first round. I mean, he's 6'7".
Yeah.
These are very hard people to block. And then, you know, Jennings, before he got hurt, he came off the edge twice. Charles tried to cut him one time and
didn't work.
That happens.
Yeah.
It's against somebody that good. We'll take a break. We'll come back. The team has landed. Okay. So we got our correspondents back. They're just back. So we'll do that when we come back. Sports. It's not sports today. It's the name of this show. Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
LSU wins it 46-41 over Alabama in Tuscaloosa. The plane is back. Gordy Rush was on that plane. I imagine, Gordy, there was a pretty jubilant locker room. I think there's already a video that's making its way around social media, and the bus trip, the plane, everything, got to be just a state of ecstatic Tigers coming home tonight.
Let me tell you, Charlie, for all the years that I've done this, I've never gotten off a plane and seen 1,000 LSU fans out there.
Wow,
and
that's awesome.
I want you to picture, everybody with their camera phones on, so you see nothing but, of course, a light. And sure enough, all the players obliged and led by Joe Burrow and Jacoby Stevens, they all ran the whole fence line to give high fives to everybody that went out there. It really was a special scene.
All right, so this game had a little bit of everything. It lived up to all of the pregame hype. Gordy, the one part of the game that struck me that was out of character for Nick Saban was at the end of the first half. They're on their 29-yard line with 23 seconds to go. And we watched, you and I, when we were doing postgame, when Saban was here, they get down to the end of the first half, and he's sort of got like this benchmark of field position plus time plus timeouts as to when he's going to push the envelope and when he's just going to say, let's take it to the locker room. And everything in my knowledge of Nick Saban told me at that point he was going to say, look, we're down 13. It's not insurmountable. We're going to take this to the locker room. I was shocked when they threw it. I don't know how you felt watching.
Well, I want to get a sideline look at it. I was in the far end zone. I've got to interview Ed coming off the field. I knew he threw the ball behind, it looked like, and Patrick Queen picked it off. But I was surprised, yeah. It was the disjointed half. I thought from Steve Sarkisian, and LSU did some good things defensively. I was as surprised as you were there, but I think also it was influenced by the fact that when he did have two timeouts and LSU got ball coming out of the halftime, so maybe that played a role. But yes, I was a little surprised.
Yeah, what it said to me was he knew he was in trouble, that he had to do something different to get him out there. So take me into the sideline when they have to have the two. I'm going to steal that guy's line. Yeah. Answer drives the two times. That Alabama, not before the kneel down, but the two times that Alabama pulled within a touchdown, within 6 points actually, in the fourth quarter, and LSU had to go 75 yards both time, and they answered with both drives.
Yeah, I don't think it was any different than the Texas game, or the patience they had in the first half against Mississippi State, or what was the trading of touchdowns against Florida. This team just doesn't flinch. And Charlie, I can't, you know me well enough. I can't tell you how much fun it is to just sit there on the sideline and see the chess match that goes on. LSU gets to the line of scrimmage, checks based off what they say. Alabama will make a second check, and Joe Burrow will check it again. I mean, and so you got this
great chess match going on. Nick played an absorbent amount of dime, 6 dBs, which he hasn't shown that much this year. So everybody's going to give him a different look. And it was really fun. And in the way that, you know, LSU adjusted, obviously Clyde had a fantastic game. And they were able to go empty a lot tonight and get the matchups they won. And they activated Joe Burrow as a runner.
They also had to make some adjustments in the secondary in the second half due to some injuries. They lost multiple players, so we saw them have to mix and match a little bit. What stood out to you in the secondary for LSU?
I thought the secondary played well, and you're exactly right. I mean, they were challenging. They challenged. They were aggressive, and they were a lot tighter. Think back to Texas, and you see the improvement that game made, that group, rather, has made. What jumped out at me and the adjustment that obviously Alabama made is LSU was playing some coverage and Alabama committed to running the football. Najee Harris, he's fantastic back, LSU had some struggles in a little part of the second half. But, again, Alabama, Sarkisian's a fine play caller. I thought kind of lost his way a couple times. You know, it's easy for me to say on the sideline in that game, but they made the adjustment and at halftime it got him back in the football game.
Is it for the same reason that we thought, Gordy, which is that especially with Tua's ankle injury,
right,
that they did not lean more on Najee Harris early in the game? He only had 4 carries in the first half, that they didn't lean on him more early.
Yeah, it was. And, to his defense, I don't know what y'all thought. I thought Tua, watching him in pregame warm-up and actually taped it, but since Trump was there was like there wasn't a whole lot of, my microphone, I'm sure it was jammed, the wireless, because so many people were on it and it was hard to get, data in and out. But when he transitioned a little bit, and I'm not making excuses and all, I thought he didn't have as much zip. And obviously, and even though he threw for 400 yards, some of that stuff, you would have thought that they would have ran the ball. But again, to Sarkisian's defense, you really didn't know what you were going to be dealing with, what percentage was he at, and how much rust would he have with the open week and not practicing.
There was one play in particular that I think he would have done differently had he been fully healthy, which was down by the goal line.
No doubt.
There's a third down where the middle is open, and if he's healthy, he's going to take off. Now, they end up scoring on that drive anyway, so I'm not sure how big of a deal that was. Gordy, we saw the emotion from Ed Orgeron after the game.
Yeah.
And it's not often that you see in a regular season game a guy, the quarterback gets carried off the field and the head coach is, having an emotional moment. But I think we all understand the magnitude of this game. So kind of give me your view from being down on the field of what that was like.
Yeah, it was special. And obviously gotten to know Ed over the years and the work that he and his staff have put in. And you know as well as I do. Everybody's going, that's what he hears. He mentioned it, I think, every time he goes to 7-Eleven for Red Bull, which that he's, hey, we're going to beat Bama this year. And, when you look out there and you see Devontae Smith and you see number two, and I apologize, Surtain, see the kids that for whatever reason decided to go to Alabama. This was the gold standard, and for Ed, who's worked so hard to get to that, his team and the program, it was emotional.
Gordy, going forward, I mean, it seemed like we had a few guys nicked up early in the game. The only guy I didn't feel like made it back into it was Kerry Vincent. How are we health-wise?
So, really good. Nick, obviously, a game like that, a lot of knocks, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if anything was serious, too serious. We'll see. And the one that Kerry Vincent took a hit towards the end of the half, before halftime, and then re-aggravated. And my report on the radio was that they talking to the medical staff, they were trying to work that thing out. So I think it was in the back of the leg. And so that's a question mark. It's an interesting matchup against Ole Miss next week with Rich Rod. They're running a spread to run you. And, Charlie, we've talked about it. The week after Alabama, got to go play up in Oxford, going to be a little chilly. Got a different defense to prepare for, and so you'd like to have as many guys back healthy for that. So, they're going to have to, I think, take their time with some people because it was such a physical game.
Yeah, there was one poster in the Bayou Ford huddle that said, I'd really rather play Arkansas next week than Ole Miss.
I agree.
You think?
Our understanding is that Mr. Morris will be relieved of his duties before lunch tomorrow. So, but it doesn't fall that way, so that's just how that goes. One more thing, and then we'll let you go. In my opinion, Joe Burrow won the Heisman today. I know that we still got 3 weeks left of regular season plus the championship games, but to me, the numbers are there. The signature moments are there. Now, this is the fourth big top 10 victory, two of them on the road. I can't imagine that there's a resume that will top his if he just goes out and plays just regular games the last 3 weeks. I don't know what kind of scuttlebutt you were hearing. I know there's a lot of national media there, you know, after the game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm with you, you know, provided there's nothing extra, you know, out of the ordinary that happens here in the last 3 weeks. I go to the stats are there. There's no question, but people love good stories. And this whole story of this football game and the story of what he brings, those intangibles that he brings to the field, the grit, the clutch plays that do show up in the stat column, but unless you really watch the game and experience it, it does really ring home. And what is the biggest college football game of the year, I'm with you. Without a doubt, he's made some separation. And that being said, even with Tua throwing for whatever he did, 400-plus yards today.
All right, Gordy, enjoy this one. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, take care.
Thanks a lot. South Carolina's playing 4th and 15 from the App State 35-yard line with 15 seconds to go. Is that 15 or 19?
19.
19 seconds to go, Scorey. And they are down 5 to App State. So we have that one for you when we come back. Plus the rest of the scores. Oklahoma has scored again on Iowa State. That game is late in the third quarter. We'll get you up to date on the rest of the scores. This is Eagle 98.1 Game Day.
Eagle 98.1 Game Day, the Snap Fitness College Football Scoreboard. Get fitter faster with Snap Fitness. Visit snapfitness.com or a location near you.
So we're watching two SEC games come right down to it. Kentucky's playing 4th and goal from the 2 with 1.5 minutes to go. They're down 4 to Tennessee. Here comes a play. It is an option. He did not get there. Tennessee.
Game.
No, Kentucky's got 3 timeouts left, so not quite, but Tennessee is in pretty good shape. They're going to take the ball and take the ball with 1:17 deep in their own territory. Kentucky's going to have to take all 3 timeouts. They'll probably get the ball back with about 50 seconds,
Kentucky,
maybe 45
was winning
seconds.
13-0 at one point.
They were.
Yeah.
They were at Tennessee. The other game is now over. App State has upset South Carolina 20-15. So App State, who is vying for that group of 5 berth into a New Year's Six Bowl, puts a Power 5 win on the board, 20-15 against South Carolina. All right, here's other games in progress. Number 15, Notre Dame leads Duke 38-7. Number 5, Clemson leads NC State 49-10. Oklahoma leads Iowa State 42-21. Just underway, Boise State is leading Wyoming 7-0, and Nevada and San Diego State just underway. Earlier today, number 1, Ohio State beat Maryland 73-14. Maryland's really good, okay? Just kidding. Justin Fields threw for 3 touchdowns today for Ohio State, who they onside kicked up 14-0. I'm like, you big bullies.
Yeah, that's just rude.
You know, it is what it is. Number 17, Minnesota beat number 4, Penn State, 31-26. Boat rowing in full force up at Minnesota. 9-0 now, 6-0 in the Big Ten. P.J. Fleck got a contract extension this week. They could get to the Big Ten championship game undefeated.
Undefeated and beat Ohio State?
They're in the playoff.
Yeah.
You win the Big Ten, you're in the playoff. They got to go to Iowa. They got to play Wisconsin at home. In between there, they got a game against Northwestern. They'll win that one. But it's no guarantee. But I didn't think they were going to win today.
Yeah.
So you got to give Fleck a tremendous amount of credit because Penn State was pretty battle-tested. And they threw the ball today, a team that hadn't thrown it very much. They were the most run-dominant team in the Big Ten. Number 6, Georgia shut out Missouri 27-0. Couple of touchdown passes for Jake Fromm. Number 10, Florida shut out Vandy 56-0. Number 12, Baylor stayed undefeated. They beat TCU 29-23. Took them 3 overtimes. Baylor had a 51-yard field goal at the, 10 seconds to go in regulation just to get it to overtime. So we're sitting there, you know, all of this talk about what about one-loss teams and one-loss teams and one-loss conference champions. Baylor and Minnesota are still undefeated. Yeah. We're now in the middle of November. Just saying, neither one of them got a very...
They got a shot.
Baylor's got to play Oklahoma. They got to play Texas. I suspect they'll lose, but then I thought they would lose today, yeah, and they didn't. Number 13, Wisconsin beat number 18, Iowa, 24-22. Told you about Texas earlier. They got field goal last play of the game. Beat number 16, Kansas State, 27-24. Virginia Tech beat number 19 Wake Forest 36-17. Number 20 Cincinnati beat UConn 48-3. Number 25 SMU beat East Carolina 59-51. A lot of defense being played for SMU. Last week 100 points. No, 102, I think it was.
Scored a lot of
100
points.
Yeah. Today 110 points in those two games. Army beat UMass 63-7. Western Kentucky beat Arkansas 45-19. We suspect that Chad Morris will be relieved of his duties as head coach tomorrow morning. Texas Tech beat West Virginia 38-17. Purdue beat Northwestern 24-22. Gordy, if you're listening, congratulations. Boilers win a game there. Florida State beat Boston College 38-31. Virginia beat Georgia Tech 38-28. It was Colorado over Stanford 16-13. Been a tough year for the Cardinal. They're now 4-5. Miami beat Louisville 52-27. Very quietly, the U is getting better.
Yeah.
They much improved from where they were in the beginning of September. Illinois beat Michigan State 37-34. Scored 27 points in the fourth quarter. Not bad.
Yeah.
Michigan State's defense was good, I thought. Not so much today. Ole Miss beat New Mexico State 41-3. That's where LSU is going next week. Get ready for all week worth of how you're going to stop the quarterback draw. John Rhys Plumlee, 177 yards on 12 carries
tonight.
The guy
can move. He's fast.
Yeah, he's a tough little guy.
Yeah.
12 carries, 177 yards, and two touchdowns. In New Mexico State, but still.
That's still an impressive stat.
Louisiana Tech beat North Texas 52-17. UL Monroe over Georgia State 45-31. Cal beat Washington State 33-20. And Utah State just finished up Fresno State 37-35. Our old friend Jordan Love threw for 388 yards and two touchdowns today for the Aggies. And that is your college football scoreboard. Musso?
Eagle 98.1 Game Day. Stat check. Presented by Cox Business. Cox Business has fast, reliable internet that's backed by the 24/7 support of Perfect Plan identifiers, expert listeners, and flexible installers. Expect more. Switch today at CoxBusiness.com.
A yardstick never before seen in an LSU-Alabama game. The 47 points, the most ever scored in this series. First downs, LSU 29 and Alabama 22. Net yards rushing 166 for the Tigers, 123 for the Tide. The average yards per carry was very close, 4.2 for the Tigers, 4.4 for the Tide. Passing yards, LSU 393 on 31 of 39. Alabama 418 on 21 of 40. Tua threw an interception. The play in which Joe Burrow turned the ball over was not ruled an interception, as we understand it was ruled as a fumble. Total offense, 559 on 79 plays for LSU, 7.1 yards per carry. LSU had scored 10 points on Alabama the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Just saying. For Alabama, 541 yards on 68 plays, 8 yards per. Each team fumbled twice and lost one. Penalties, I'm glad this was not a big deal today. 4 for 35 for LSU, 7 for 53 for Alabama. We went through the explanation on Moss's play. Third down conversions, Tigers were 8 out of 15. Alabama was 6 out of 15. Alabama went for it. You pointed this out earlier in the show, Rich. 5 times on fourth down today and made 3 of them. LSU was never forced to go for it on fourth down. Tied 5 sacks for 37 yards. LSU had 1 sack today. Individually rushing, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 20 carries for 103 yards and 3 touchdowns in the last 10 on a first down that put the game out of reach. Joe Burrow, 14 carries for, you know, he gained 96 yards. They're going to dock you in college football. The sack yardage was 32 yards. So he ends up with 14 carries for 64 yards. But really, it's more like 14 carries for 96 yards.
For big runs, too.
Big runs. Third down runs. The 15-yarder on third down from
which
the 20-yard line.
Which set up the draw pass they did, which you missed. I mean, it was Tebow-esque where they're going to do the draw. And then it wasn't a jump pass. He just sold it and threw it down the field for a big play.
I've got a DVR. I had to go to the bathroom. I mean, just one play. Najee Harris, 19 carries for 146 yards and a touchdown. Again, we told you Burrow, 31 of 39, 393, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 5 sacks against him. Tua, 21 of 40, 418 yards, 4 touchdowns and a pick. He was sacked one time. Leading receivers, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had the most catches, 9 for 77 yards. Justin Jefferson with 7 for 79. Jamar Chase, 6 catches, 140 yards, and a touchdown. And Terrace Marshall, 2 catches for 45 yards, including a 29-yard touchdown. Devontae Smith, 7 catches for 213 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Tide, including that 85-yarder that made everybody nervous at the end. Jerry Jeudy, 5 catches for 71 yards and a touchdown. Henry Ruggs, 3 for 68. Waddle, 3 for 22. Harris, 3 catches for 44 yards. Only 5 guys caught passes for Alabama today, but they were all they're all explosive guys. Von Rosenberg, 39.8 yard average on 4 punts. Ty Perrine, 3 punts for a 48.7 yard average. Leading tacklers tonight, you mentioned, I think this was off the air. We've been in here a while. I think this was what you told me off the air. Kalyvon Chaisson today,
right.
monster day. I've been as critical as him as anybody.
Yeah.
Step up in the big game. They need you. He did tonight. 10 total tackles to lead LSU. 3.5 of them for loss, plus another quarterback hurry. And I thought the most impressive play he made the whole night, Rich, was on a third down. Alabama ran that that kind of double screen three times.
He got into the zone, knocked it down.
He made the tackle on the one I'm thinking of, which was about 3 yards shy of the first down. It was a big – essentially, it was a turnover.
It was making a huge play.
And it's a tough tackle of making in the open field. And
for
he got
D,
there
him
and he
to bounce
it.
Back and get out, I mean, him to drop and then catch the quick wide receiver on the edge, I mean, it was a huge play.
It really was. Jacoby Stevens, Jacob Phillips, Patrick Queen all had 7 tackles total, and LSU as a team had 7 tackles for a loss. 37 yards in losses, so Chaisson had half of those. The interception was Patrick Queen's late in the first half, monster play in the game. For Alabama, 3 players in double-digit tackles. Xavier McKinney with 13 totals. He also had 2 sacks. He's a defensive back. And a forced fumble. Jared Maiden, 11 tackles, and Trayvon Diggs with 10. Anthony Jennings with 8 tackles, including 2 sacks, 16 yards worth of sack totals there tonight. So that is your stat check. We'll come back and we'll do game balls. Eagle 98.1 game day.
Eagle 98.1 game day. Game balls. Presented by Baton Rouge Metro Airport. Baton Rouge Metro Airport. It's about time.
All right, game balls. We're going to do a kind of a dual entry here on the on the offense. So you go ahead and
defense. Kalyvon Chaisson. I mean, he was all over the field. I'm talking about. Yeah, and he's not going to have the sack numbers. He didn't get a sack tonight, but he rushed the quarterback. Yep. He made big plays in the run game, 3.5 tackles for loss. He was all over the field.
And I'm going to go with Patrick Queen. 7 tackles and a half a sack, but the interception at the end of the first half, I know I've kind of gone on and on about that, but just a monster play. And we're going with the co-entry, the both of us. Clyde Edwards-Helaire tonight and Joe Burrow. Burrow, 31 of 39, 393, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 5 sacks, but an additional 64, but really 96 yards worth of rushing. In my opinion, he locked up the Heisman tonight. And
yep.
I wasn't sure I was ever going to see an LSU Heisman winner in my life.
Yeah,
because
agree.
It almost always goes to a quarterback. And when
we don't
when,
have a history of having that type of quarterback.
No. And when Fournette was the leader, you know, a few years ago, it's like, well, we might, you know, but he's got to go to Alabama. And, you know, in the back of your head, you're like, man, they're going to be ready for him. But I thought, okay. So this is really something because I think that, you know, he's going to win it.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. So Edwards-Helaire tonight, 20 carries, 103 yards, 3 touchdowns, the 10-yarder to ice it, 9 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. Richard pointed out that he's 9 for 9 on his targets. And when I got a little time to exhale tomorrow at some point, I'm going to go through this drive chart and find out how many of those catches were for first downs because I want to say off the top of my head probably 4 or 5.
Charlie, I'm going to watch this game again tomorrow.
I may watch this game again tonight. at any rate, those are our game balls. LSU wins at 46-41. Final thoughts when we come back. Eagle 98.1 game day.
Eagle 98.1 game day, presented by your local Super Chevy dealers.
We're not going to forget today anytime soon. A unbelievable performance, really, by both teams, but LSU comes out on top, 46-41. And again, what it means is a number one ranking across the board a likely Heisman Trophy winner, the lead in the SEC West, the inside track to Atlanta for the SEC Championship game, the inside track with no help from anybody else. Doesn't matter what else happens with anybody else. You went out and you are the SEC champion. You are going to the playoffs, most likely as the number one seed. So everything is lined up today. Richard, this was the one game that it's really difficult to put into words what it meant mentally for this team, these coaches, this community.
You got the Alabama monkey off your back.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one to quit on.
Yeah.
That's as good as we can do. Thanks to everybody for participating, for Musso, for Joe Rod. For Richard Dixon, I'm Charles Haniger saying thank you and good night. Enjoy this one, everyone. Tigers beat Bama! Good night.